Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Downderry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Pickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19, as well as community and public health.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, to watch and share our incredible informative animations, visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
It's an honor and a pleasure today to have Dr. Chris Beavers to appear on our show today. Dr. Beavers is a professor of psychology at the University of Texas at Austin. Chris, it's really a pleasure to have you on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Thanks for having me on. I'm a depression researcher. I direct a lab that's devoted to understanding the causes of depression and some of the better ways to try and treat it. We're really interested in developing new interventions for depression in particular.
And in particular, what is it that you are doing?
Currently, we're trying to develop internet-based interventions for depression. Like, one of the big barriers for the treatment of depression is getting access to treatment. There just aren't enough qualified therapists, unfortunately, to meet the demand. And so we've been trying to take what happens in the therapy session and take it online into a format that people may be able to access via the internet. And so it's kind of like an engaging online course that helps teach somebody how to better cope with their depression.
I mean, is this different from like telemedicine or telehealth?
Yeah, it's related, but a little bit different. So you could imagine logging on to a website. The intervention that I've done most of my research with is called Deprexis. And so you would log on to this Deprexis website and basically work your way through the program. There are 10 different modules, each touching on a different skill that we're trying to teach the individual. Some of these modules may be highly relevant to an individual, some may not be. And so the advice is to basically take what is most relevant to you across these modules and, you know, apply them to your life. It's typically done at your own pace, at times that are convenient for you. It's sort of like, you know, guided self-help in the sense that you're working your way through this internet-based intervention.
And have you guys been able to measure any outcomes as a result of this intervention?
Yeah, so we've now done over a dozen clinical trials of Deprexis. And we typically compare receiving Deprexis to treatment as usual. And we've shown across all of the studies that the intervention is effective. It reduces depression by, on average, 30 to 40%. And that's actually one of the other questions I'm really interested in, is trying to identify who is most likely to benefit from this treatment so that we can begin to get more specific about who may be the right candidate for these interventions.
I wanted to ask about demographics. Have you noticed any demographical differences? Because I know women typically like to go to women therapists, or people of color like to go to a therapist that's also a person of color. Have you noticed any differences like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we haven't noticed any demographic differences along those lines, but what we have noticed is that if somebody has received a lot of treatment in the past, that this intervention tends not to be highly effective for those individuals. It's almost like they've heard a lot of this before. And so now us telling them similar information, maybe in a different package, isn't going to be terribly helpful. We've also noticed that the more co-occurring symptoms that somebody has in addition to depression, the sort of less likely they are to respond. And that kind of makes sense. Those individuals may just need a higher level of care than something like an online intervention is able to provide. We really view this as something that somebody can try initially to see if it helps reduce their symptoms. And if they don't get any relief initially, then that can lead to a higher level of care. But if somebody's experiencing a really sort of complex mix of symptoms, this might not be the right place to start. Unfortunately, with a lot of mental health treatment, it's a lot of trial and error trying to figure out which treatment works for whom. And sometimes you have to try several treatments before you land on one that seems to work really well for you, or several therapists sometimes. And so that's true for internet interventions as well. On average, they seem to work. But of course, there's a lot of individual differences in terms of who it works for. And that's something we're still trying to really figure out more conclusively.
Dr. Beavers, can you explain to us what constitutes depression and then how it is that you guys are able to measure it and then are able to determine whether or not your intervention is helpful or not?
Yeah, so most mental health conditions are based on the patient's self-report. So we ask them a series of structured questions that ask about their mood. So if you've been feeling sad or down, have you lost interest in activities that you used to enjoy? Those sorts of questions. We'll ask about their sleep, their appetite. We'll ask about thoughts of suicide and things along those lines. Before and during treatment, we check in about their depression regularly. And what we hope to see with treatment is that depression severity will go down over time. And we may assess their depression, you know, every 2 to 3 weeks during that interval, so we can get a sense of, is somebody improving while completing this treatment? Unfortunately, there isn't like a blood test that we can give for depression or any mental health condition. We just don't understand the sort of underlying causes of depression well enough yet to have a test like that. So it's primarily based on the patient's just self-report of the symptoms that they're experiencing.
So you mentioned that you guys check in. So it's not just an internet-based product, like you guys are involved in the beginning and throughout the process?
Well, in the research we are. So in our research assessments, we like to get both the patient's self-reported symptoms on a questionnaire, but then we also do clinical interviews as well so that we can, because sometimes the questionnaires and the interview data don't 100% line up. And so we want to get a sense of not only on the questionnaire, but in an in-person interview, how are they doing? And then that also allows us to get some feedback about what they liked about the program and what they didn't like about it. And so that we can use that information to further improve it.
And if somebody was interested in finding out more information about this, where can they go?
They can go to deprexis.com, should get them where they need to go. It's spelt DEPRIXIS, deprexis.com.
Deprexis.com, and individuals will be able to either sign in or learn more information about that and even be a participant in either the study or the intervention then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Chris Beavers, University of Texas at Austin, professor of psychology. Thank you so much for appearing on COVID Noise Filter today. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast and to follow us on social media. And you can find me at the Dr. Derry, that's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter. And to see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us and the show, go to noisefiltershow.com.
Just as a reminder, COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors, and you can learn more at www.scaetc.org. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking the steps to keep yourself and loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, and seeing your healthcare provider regularly.
and protect yourselves and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. As an infectious diseases doctor, I also want to share with healthcare providers in our audience that the HIV Care Tools app was recently launched by the AETC and is a fantastic tool for ensuring your patients have the best standard of care. I encourage you to check it out. And remember, health is a human right.